Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
When we talk about love, I didn't grow up hearing much about love, even though when you read the Bible, it's all about love. And so when we get into scriptures on love, I realize how much I like to talk about it, how very little I like to live it. And 1 Corinthians 13 is not a motivational speech on love. It's a revelation of God's love. And I don't want to talk about it. I'm tired of talking about it. I want to live it. I want the love of God in my life. Okay. So it says, the Bible says that Jesus could do no miracles in Nazareth because of their lack of faith. Don't put a greater burden on me than on Jesus. I need some faith. I'm not here to hype you. I'm not a hype man. I'm not a motivational speaker. Okay? I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm here to give the word of God to some hungry people with some faith. And anybody got any faith? Anybody? Just a little bit of faith. All you need is mustard seed faith, okay? It's just a little bit of faith. But stir yourself this morning, because this is not a pontification of Jesus. This is not just sort of a few ideas we want to talk about. We're going after it this morning. God's speaking. I believe this is a day of miracles for you. Amen? And today is the day of salvation. God is moving in this place. And stir our hearts of faith to receive, and I believe this is a moment for our lives of saying, God, I want this love. I want it in my, I want it, our church to not be, I don't want to have just a mission statement about love. Amen. I want 1 Corinthians 13 to be evident in your life. So when someone bumps into you, they bump into 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. All right, we're ready. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Thank you, worship team. Leah's pregnant, so she's like, I think, singing over her child. She was like, a little extra, a little extra. Team's been working hard at getting things ready. And I tell you what, if you've never been a praiser before, I challenge you, even based on this message this week, to throw yourself, have you ever thrown a personal praise party? Invitation one. Okay, just you. Have you ever thrown a praise party in your house, in your room, in your living room? This week, I'm just going to throw that challenge out there. Have a praise party by yourself and see what happens. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with human eloquence, this is out of the Message Bible, an angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say or what I believe or what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. I don't want this. I don't want this for our church. I believe God is moving. And receive even greater, I believe, the revelation of God's love. Saying, God, I want to receive what you're giving. Amen? You cannot give what you haven't received. Like Peter and John with the crippled man at the gate, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I freely give it to you here. Rise and walk. God wants to give us his love. Amen? And it's not just so we can get sweaty a little bit and dance a little bit. I found myself having a new move this morning in worship. I don't know if it was the choir, but I just felt a little wave coming on. And I felt a little stupid, but I went with it. Amen? If you feel new worship moves coming on, go with it. This is love. Love never gives up. Does that sound like you? Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. I wanted a swimming pool all week long. God bless Facebook, right? Just stirs up covetousness. I was seeing all my friends, a couple of people, they got new swimming pools, and all week long, I was like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And I just repented this morning, amen. I want love. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. It doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. This is the life that God has for us. Isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always. Come on, this is the type of church that God is raising up. Always looks for the best, never looks back, never looks back, never. You are not doing yourself a favor by looking back. Could you imagine if our worship songs are, you know, judgment triumphs over mercy. I want to try harder. I need to work harder. I need to change. I need to. The reason they're God-centered is because the only hope for a sinner is to be inundated by grace. Talking about grace is not greasy because it doesn't let you off the hook. It is your only hope. As a sinner, focusing on sin does not make or cause sin to go away. Where there is sin, grace abounds. Where there is much sin, grace abounds much more. And so he wants to reveal our only hope, which is him. Our only hope of having this is love. Never looks back. Quit looking back. This is your day. But keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Love never dies. It's like Chuck Norris. Amen. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. I love the message. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. Everyone say ways. Ways. Ooh, that's the word that jumps out to me today. Ways. Ways. The way we do things. This is the way we do things. This is the way I've always done things. 1 Corinthians 13:11 in the NIV. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways. There's our word. We have to put the ways, or we have to put the paths behind us. What does it say about love? Love doesn't look back. I want to talk this morning about paths and ways. Prepare for a new path. I believe this is a word for you. It's changed my life. I believe that God is going to speak to some of us, not all of us, sorry. To all of us this morning about a new path. About a new path. He's going to prepare you for a new path. Let's look at this in Psalms 119, 104. It says, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Light is good and bad. Do you remember that first HD TV? I remember my brother invited me over for an NBA game and I didn't know what HD was. I was like, whoa, this is crystal clear. Basketball players, everything looks crazy, awesome. And then one of the announcers got up and I was like, whoa, HD was good and it was bad. We saw everything on this commentator's face. Light is good because it brings clarity. And so some of you have gotten clarity this summer, but the problem is light also reveals, oh, I didn't know that was there. Let's turn the lights a little bit low. So light reveals, light brings clarity, but God only reveals what he wants to heal. And so you cannot have fear in the sense of God is bringing light, I believe, to so many of our lives. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to bring clarity. But while clarity has come, light has shone on your marriage, on your life, on your relationship with God. And you've noticed some things in the corners. And maybe you feel a little guilty. You feel a little bad about it. But ultimately, God is again revealing so that he can heal. And he's bringing light. He's bringing light, but some of our marriages have gotten worse. Some of our friendships have gotten worse. You have to understand, when God begins to speak to you and show you something, it's the beginning of something. It's the beginning of something. And what happens is we think, well, this really didn't help my marriage. I started talking to my wife. I started opening up, and all of a sudden, things got weirder. I'm going back to the old I'm going to turn the lights down a little bit. Let light come to everything, and let light take its full course, because light is here to bring a light to my path. If you're not on a path, though, you don't need light. If you're doing your own thing, you're probably cool doing whatever you want to do. But if you're on a path, you need light. You need light. So this morning, I want to talk about paths. Prepare for a new path. Amen? Prepare for a new path. I need a pathway here. I need a pathway. All right. Jesus, we thank you for this morning. Come on, open your hearts of faith and just ask God, Lord, do whatever you want to do in my life. Leave me never the same again. I know you're a good God. You're a giving God. You're a real God. You are for me. Your word says you know the thoughts that you have towards me. They are of a hope. They are of a future. I pray your word, I pray truth would dispel automatically every bit of darkness, every bit of shame, every bit of guilt. Lord, wherever we have partnered with a lie or partnered with the flesh or our past, Lord, we thank you that mercy triumphs over judgment, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, that you are for us, not against us, that you so loved the world that you gave your son, not out of guilt or condemnation, but it was love that nailed you to the cross. And Lord, we receive all that you want to give, Lord, to us, more than we could even imagine, more than we could even ask or think. No eye has seen and no ear has heard or mind even comprehended the things that you have prepared for us, Lord. You are alive and you are awesome and you are real and you are in control, and all of our faith is not in ourselves, but we throw our past, our future, we throw our trust, our beliefs, our minds at your feet, and we throw them into your presence. We throw all that we are into you, and we make you big today in this place. Like David, we say, we magnify you. We're going to magnify you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I love church because we get to magnify God. All week long, we magnify the IRS. We magnify bills. We magnify. But in church, we get to magnify God. Amen. Amen. Have you ever driven somewhere for so long, but you didn't need to go there anymore, but you did because you just, again, it just sort of, you've been driving that, you know, like a workplace or a house. Well, I had, I was a youth pastor in Portland for like 10 years, but then I volunteered really 5 years before that, and worship, man, I just couldn't stay quiet. So good. So about 15 years driving the same road on I-5, or 205, sorry. So every once in a while, I drive. I love to reminisce. I am a reminiscer. Always. September, I'm like, babe, remember last September? Always. So I'm driving, and I'll reminisce. I'll look over at what my kids call Mountain Hood. I'll look over at Mountain Hood and woo, think about all the moments that I drove and saw Mountain Hood. And I'll look over at the Columbia River and see the little sandbar that shows itself and just, hopefully the boaters and the jet skiers don't hit it like we did once, and kind of saw that. And driving by, and then again, I remember the time my Ford Exploder blew up, my head gasket blew right there on the side. Dad came and helped, and I remember the steam, just like the movies, and I'm like pumping the gas, and there's nothing there. That's a weird feeling. And I was rebuking the devil, because that's what happened. The devil took me out. I was on my way to pick up kids to go to a youth conference in Seattle. Amen. And so I remember that moment. And when you get off on the I-205 bridge, it moves a lot. When you get out and you're like, that thing floats. You're like, woo, get me out of here. So I was remembering those days, and I'm driving, and then you get off the exit and Elmer's is right there. Oh, the Elmer's memories. I ordered the same thing for 15 years, Mr. Elmer's omelet with no tomatoes, hash browns, and an English muffin. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe if I was feeling skinny, a little extra hollandaise sauce, amen? And so all the moments of discipleship and pastoring over the years with the Mr. Elmer's Omelet. Just memories and memories. And then I go up the street from there and I see the strip clubs on my right and I see the strip clubs on the left. I see honeysuckles over there and it brings back memories. Hold on, let me finish the story. I used to go in there and preach the gospel. Someone has to. I'm kidding. There's so many strip clubs on the way to the church, it literally became sort of what we would tell youth pastors when they came to our youth conference. Take a left at the Pink Kitty, and then a right at Honeysuckles, and then take your last left at the Fantasy House. And they'd be like, what? But that's what it was. They were like the markers on how to get to church. So anyways, let's focus people. So just reminiscing, and I hadn't been on staff for 12 years. But still, if I just for a second daydream and lose my focus, I will automatically start to drive to work. I will take that path to church. Now the power of a path is beautiful. I don't have to expend any energy taking that path. Now, if you're to take a new path, you have to expend a lot of energy looking at your navigation, or back in the day, your MapQuest directions, amen, or your travel guide that we used to have, and used to, if you're going to somewhere new, but if you're taking a path that you've driven for years, the power of that path is it's automatic. It's almost like it sucks you in. All you have to do is lose your focus for a second, and you're like, what am I doing here? I'm driving to my old house. We moved a couple years ago. What happened? What happened is the power of a path. Now, again, it's beautiful. It's automatic. It naturally takes over. The problem is, what happens if you no longer live there? What happens if you no longer want to live at 1103 Fear Drive? I don't work there anymore. I don't want to go towards insecurity. I don't want to go towards depression or fear. What happens when you no longer live there and God has given you a new path called faith, called prayer, called church? What I never understood is that prayer is a path. It's a path. It's a path. It's a pathway to the promise. See, God's not just called us to pray and to claim promises. And that's just going to be enough to get us to the promise. But that's what we do a lot as Christians. We're so good at talking about prayer, talking about promises, talking about destinations, talking about secrets and keys. You know what the key to a prayer life is? I'm all about keys. I'm all about destinations. I'm all about triggers. But you know what the Bible is even more into than triggers, keys, and destinations is pathways. The Bible is all about paths. What happens when you want to break a pathway? See, what I came here to tell you this morning, this is good news, so you can smile, is that you've been up against a path. But you didn't know it. You thought you were just up against your past. You were just up against a demon. You were just up against a mindset. But you have been up against a pathway, and not just a pathway that you drove down, but that might have been your granddad and your great-great-great-grandma literally created that pathway, paved it, put up lights, restaurants, and everything. And you've been taking that thing for 60 years, not even knowing that it was handed to you. And we think a 5-minute prayer is going to break the past and break the path and give you a new path, but it's not. And here's the good news is that you have been up against a path. We didn't know. We never talked about paths. We've been talking about keys for so long. What's the key to health? What's the key to savings? What's the key to church? What's the key to a relationship with God? But we haven't been talking about pathways. We talk about the secrets of success. And the secrets to a bad case of the Mondays is have someone call you and pray over you. And so we lean into accountability. And we lean into different keys and secrets, which are good, They're awesome. They're a part of it. But God is about path, saying that you will never get to where you want to go without a new path. So you could be taking that old path of fear, and every once in a while, someone will pray faith over you. But I came here to tell you that God wants to give you a new path, because only a new path of faith will get you to the promise. It's why this September is the same as last September. Of course the devil's against you. Of course your past is against you. But if you don't take a new path, you're never going to get there. God's called you. You know why God gave you prayer? For the path. You know why God gave you a promise? For the path. Do you know why God gave you a prophecy? It was for the path. He wants to give you a path. He wants to give you a path. I'm here to tell you that you have been up against a path. So let yourself go this morning. Just shake it off. You've been up against a generational path. Literally, the gossip, the insecurity, the inferiority, the suspicious, the gossip, the mindset was literally handed down to you. And what you need to know is you are blazing a trail for your family. You are blazing, you are going into uncharted territory, somewhere that your parents have never taken. Your family has never taken. You are literally taking your family legacy into a place of faith and into prayer that you've never gone before. And you need to know you've never actually gone this way. You've never done it this way. You've never had as much as you've had right now as you begin to blaze a trail. Now, not everything that our parents gave us was bad. Yeah. Not everything that was handed down to you was bad. And so we have to thank the people that have gone before us. We talk a lot about what God is doing. We would not be here without the moms and the dads and the trailblazers in this room that went up against demons of religion and mindsets that we would never know. The men and women in this place, we would not be here without you. We have to stop and honor the trailblazers that made decisions in their teens and in their college years to serve God. None of us are perfect, but we would not be here without trailblazers. You know who you are in this room. We would not be here without the sacrifice, without the faith, without the prayer. And as young people, I'm young, I'm 41, I'm just going to claim young. We have to honor the shoulders that we stand on. We all of us as a generation have to remember that we're not just up against the devil. We're not just up against our past. We are up against putting away old ways, putting away paths and ways of doing things, ways of talking and ways of loving and ways of raising our kids and ways of going to church. I remember even when me and Carrie were starting to talk about money, it's just a little bit different. Someone had suggested, hey, don't say that we don't have the money. We don't have the money. That's the spirit of poverty. We don't have. Say, we don't choose to spend it on that. Me and mom don't choose to spend it. Just all the toys and stuff. We just don't want to, because I didn't know, but I was putting seeds of poverty thinking into my kids. We don't have enough and we never have enough. And daddy didn't buy me the truck because we don't have enough. And I didn't even know it until someone said, man, you're putting a pathway in your family of you don't have enough and God never gives to us and mom and dad haven't. No, we have chosen not to spend our money on that. It's confident. It's full of faith. It's full of grace. Any other questions? Mom and dad are going to buy 2 gifts this year, and that's going to be a great thing. Now let's watch a Netflix documentary of the third world. We're not a victim. I'm not a victim of consumerism. I'm not a victim of Instagram. I'm not a victim of Facebook. I will raise my kids and we will take a path. We will thank the parents. We will honor the family. We will honor the church that we got here because of the trailblazers before us, and they cut down trees and killed snakes. I will never know. I have no idea, but now I will pick up the mantle as a trailblazer and take my family and take the church and take the community towards the promises of God. But we got to wake up and stop being silly that a prayer is going to get me to the promised land without a path. I'm up against a path. And this path, some of our pathways of fear, 100 years old, perfectly paved. Mom's been paving that thing every year. Took over for grandma. Put in new lights. Put in a Krispy Kreme. I'll scratch that. Whole Foods with acai bowls and fruit stands. Amen. Organic. Amen. Non-GMO. Come on. And everything just recyclable bags and trees. And it's such a beautiful path. Are we sure we want to leave this path? Are we sure we want to leave this path? And what you need to know is that you are literally, God is asking you to put away, Scripture is saying, put it away. But what happens is when that path is so easy, it's automatic. All you have to do is daydream for a second. Lose your, just the fight for a second. And it will take over your insecurity, your suspicion. The world's against me. Nothing ever good's going to happen. I'm going to lose it. It's just a matter of time until. And God asks you to put it away. And then you come up against the unknown. And you look at it, and you go, something's wrong. I need some prayer. I need some more prophecy. And I'm telling you this morning, maybe you do, but maybe you don't. Maybe you got enough prayer and enough prophecy and enough people around you to say, it's time to take the path. It's time to take a new path. I want to impart a passion for pathways this morning. I want to impart a passion for God. Show me your path. Show me your path. Let's look to the book of Psalms. Psalms 25, verse 4. Actually, let's go to Psalms 23 first. The Lord is my shepherd. This is David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There is our word, path. He leads me. So he leads me in paths of righteousness. And some of us this morning are saying, God, I want that path. I want to put back the path of fear, and I want to take the path of faith. I want to put behind me the path of insecurity, and I want to put path the path of gossip and talking and being hurt. I want to take the path of love and confidence and friendship and family and honesty and vulnerability and humility. I want to take it, but how? This is what God does. Psalms 25:4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. So he teaches. Where's my verse? Psalms 37, sorry. The steps, see, here it is. We put away a path. We want a new path. But we're sitting there going, God, how do we do this? How do we take this new path? Check out the goodness of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. God literally orders you steps. How good is that? That ought to make someone excited. Now, if you don't want to take a new path, then just fall asleep. But if you want to take some new paths, and you're saying, I'm tired of driving that same highway. I'm tired of living that way. Do you see this? God orders you steps. They're not ordered by you. They're ordered by the Lord. So that means even this morning, we got to recognize that God has ordered you here. He has ordered this step. You took it. It is the provision of God in bringing you into that path. That's awesome. Now, can I just be... It's a conflict of interest. It's a bit of a commercial, but can you forgive me? Just forgive me before I say anything right now. You have to pre-forgive me right here. God has ordered you this church. See, the moment you say, I'm leaving that path, God orders you steps for the paths of righteousness. He does it out of his goodness, out of his grace, out of his favor. What happens, though, is we look at those steps and we despise them because they're not a path yet. See, we're used to paths, even dysfunctional paths. That's why we love what we know, even if it's dysfunctional. I know how to play games in marriage. I know how to get out of carry if I really want something. I know how to play the game. I know how to manipulate the situation. So what happens is when we put away the path of playing games and manipulating and trying to get attention, and we pick this new path, we despise the steps that God orders because it doesn't look like a path. It looks like a couple of steps. And it's called starting over in pure faith, pure humility, pure vulnerability. And then what do we do when we hear a word? It doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. And yet God has ordered church, and he said, but you haven't even taken the steps. God, I go. No, I've asked you to step into that church. It's a family. It's a community. And some of us will hold back from really opening our hearts and connecting with people that God has asked us to connect with. But he said, I ordered you some steps. Conference has been ordered for you. It might not look like a path. It might not look like what you know. It might not look how God used to provide for you, but he's ordered some steps. He's ordered some team. He's ordered some people in this room, and he's saying, take it, because these steps are ordered by the Lord, and they will lead to a path. He's ordered the steps. He's ordered the steps. Praying about the promise is not enough. You need to be willing to take a new path. We're praying, we're claiming promises, but we're taking the same path. We're praying, we're claiming promises, but we're taking the same path. And God just wants you to know this morning, the reason it's not working is because you're on the same path. You're on fear path. You're on the path. You might stop for a second and someone will pray for you and you'll get some faith, but you keep driving on the fear path. You keep driving on the fear path. You keep driving on the independent, I know what to do path. I got it path. The selfish path. The I'm good path. The I'm just going to figure this out. I'm just going to. And then every once in a while, though, we'll stop, get a little prayer, get a little word. And we're so frustrated that we're not where we're supposed to be. And God's saying, you got to put that path away. It takes a lot of faith. But you need to put that path away because I've given you prayer and I've given you promise for the path. But some of us are stuck in our prayer closets. Now hear me, I love prayer closets. If you read the book of Psalms, David will always start off with petition. God, no one likes me. My life is so hard. It's difficult. That's all real. Petition's real, supplication is real, but did you know when you open up with God and you become real, it causes God to open up and be real? The Bible says if you know God, if you submit to God, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. But God, when he opens up promise, he opens up grace, he opens up hope. So when you get real and you get honest and you're having a bad day with God like David did, it'll cause God to open up. But God doesn't have bad days. God only has good days. And so promise and grace and love and future. And so you'll see David begin to petition, God, I want to die. And it'll switch over to, but you are my rock and you are my fortress. And you're awesome and you're incredible. What happens is God says, since you're being honest, I'm going to be honest. And when God's honest, he opens up promise and everything changes in that prayer life. That promise life was meant to go from the prayer closet to the path. But what we do is we stay in the prayer closet. I just got to pray about this. And I need more promise. And I need more prayer. I need more prayer. And I need more promise. And God is saying, it's time to take the path. God, I want friendships. I want church. I want marriage. I want depression to be gone. But we treat everything as if prayer will just make it go away. Or a prophecy, or a pastor, or a conference will make it go away. But God is saying, I've given you prayer, I've given you prophecy in order for you to know which path to take. It is time to take the path. It is time to be excited that God, I believe, is shedding light upon our lives and saying, your life is literally about to change because you are going to take a new path. You've never taken this path before. You've been in fear. You've been in insecurity. You've been in your past. You've been on the path of your past and your guilt and your
shame, and yet you've been praying and prophesying. All of that, though, was to take you on a new path. I gave you prayer. I gave you promise so you would know what path to take. See, we know this in the natural, don't we? If we had a promise of a camping trip on the calendar, let's say July 15th, would we ever wake up on July 15th and go, all right, let's go, kiddos, woo! The promised day is here. Let's go possess the promised land of camping. And the little kids come in. They're like, Dad, the car's in the shop. You're like, what? Satan. Man, he's against us. Dad, where's the camping gear? Well, we don't have any? The tents? The blankets? Not, we don't. Dad, we don't have any food. Man, let's come together and pray. Lord, we pray for this trip and the resistance that is coming against us. We wouldn't. Now, you would pray as you prepared for the promise. Get the family together and say, we're going to start saving for this trip. We're going to believe for this trip. To God, do what you can only do. I'm not here to mock prayer. I'm here to put prayer in its place, which is on the place of taking the path. But so many of us are locked up in our homes, afraid to take the path, thinking that prayer and promise will allow us not to have to take the path. When he's given us prayer, he's given us promise for the path. And he's saying, take the path. If you ever want to get to the promise, you've got to take the path. We would never do it in the natural. We would never teach our kids that the devil kept the car at the shop. We wouldn't. We'd never teach our kids that prayer replaces everything. That this spirituality, that just God's just going to, no, God's a builder. I can do all things through Christ is in you. He's called us to partner. He's called us to live this life of faith. And we don't want to live it. We want prayer to replace it. We want gifting to replace it. We want knowledge to replace it. And he's saying, I called you to take this path. He's saying, I called you to take it. But this is what we do. We would never do this on a camping trip, a vacation. We would never do that. We'd go shopping. We get our kids together like we do when we pray over the vacation. We get excited. We say we never get to have this time back. We're going to cherish it. And yes, you pray with your family. And yes, you believe with your family. And you plan with your family. And you prepare for the path. But in our spiritual world, wake up every day going, oh, what? The car's in the shop? Oh, what? You want to go out to lunch with me? I'm sorry, I'm busy. They keep asking me to join a team. And God said, I ordered some steps for you. I ordered some steps for you. I ordered some steps for you. I put a spirit of prayer in you. I've given you a prophecy. I've given you a promise for the path. It's time to take the path. I've ordered some steps from you. Don't despise the small beginning. I've ordered some steps for you when it comes to friendship and it comes to relationship and it comes to vulnerability. I even ordered that fight last night in your marriage that you despised and you thought it was Satan and you thought it was your past. It was the word of the Lord shining light on the newness and the humility and vulnerability and confidence and new life I want to bring in your marriage. I put prayer on you for the path. I put promise on you for the path. It's time to take the path. This is why David said, lead me in the paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness. Lord, you're breaking paths of fear in this place right now. You're breaking paths of insecurity. We thank you for the people who've gone before us. They took our family so far, but now we're about to pick up the sword of the Spirit. We're about to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of truth. That's why a prayer warrior was called a prayer warrior, because it wasn't meant to just be domesticated in your house, blaming everything on God and everything on the devil. He put prayer inside of you as a warrior because we were supposed to pick up the word and to stir up the gift and go down a path and teach our kids this is how we fight. We don't hide in our house from our neighbors and despise them. Can't believe Tom mowed that side of the lawn. See, you're instilling independence. Rather than, hey, I'm going to go say hi, invite him to church. That's a path. You're called to take a new path today. But we have to prepare for it. I know this might seem a little intense, a little heavy, but we're just talking this morning. We're just getting ready for conference this morning. I wanted you to know this is good news. The reason you can't get a prayer life is because it's a path. Prayer starts the night before. I remember when I started this church, I didn't realize how much Sundays were going to take, how much Sundays I needed to give. I remember we were at a wedding on a Saturday night. I said, Sunday starts Saturday night. That's it. Clear the schedule on Saturday, because Sunday is a pathway that starts actually Friday night. My weekends, my Sundays are affected by my weekends. But you know what? We wake up like a camping trip with prayer, with ministry, family, and friendships. And we go, I don't know. I'm just trying. No, it's a path. Prayer starts the night before. Church starts the night before. Date night start. Well, we just, you know, can't find any time anymore. It's a romance is a path. Miracles are a path. Faith is a path. And he's saying, I want to teach you. I want to teach you pathways. I want to teach you how to take this new path. It's time to put away the path. It's time to put away the path. That's what you're up against. That's why it hasn't been working. But I'm going to show you a new path this morning. I'm going to show you a new path this morning. Psalms 119, 104. Let's go there one more time. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What's it a light to? Your path. See, the reason we don't read our Bibles is this: we're not on the path. See, it's like a trail map. If I'm at home and I have Cape Horn trail map, it's for fun. Sitting by the fire.
Oh, look at that. That's cool. Some animals. It's a little tree there, a little waterfall.
Babe, it's so cute. You don't really need to look at the map unless you're on the path. But when you're on the path, you need the map. See, I think the biggest problem we have is that the promise doesn't look like the trailhead. And so when God promises you waterfalls and promise you little pockets of deer and little dewy meadows and eagles, you're like, yes, Lord. He promises you faith and a marriage and ministry. He promises you provision. He promises you fulfillment. And you go, yes, Lord, that's the promise. I'll take it. I'll receive it. And then he brings us to the trailhead. And we think something's wrong.
I don't see any waterfalls and eagles.
And so what we do is when God takes us to the trailhead of leadership and the trailhead of friendship and the trailhead of marriage, it says, I've called you to blaze a new trail. We despise the trailhead and never take the path because it doesn't look like the waterfall. It doesn't look like the promise, but the trailhead will lead to the waterfall. And so we despise it. And God is saying, no, I've given you the word as a light to the path. We're standing over here as a church, sometimes huddling up for more prayer meetings, more worship, more prophecy, more prayer, more worship, more prophecy, more gifting, more small group, more team. I need more. I need more. I need more. And the only reason we need more is because it doesn't make any sense, because the light is not a light at home. It's a light into my path. And God is saying it's time to take the path. Faith is a path. Prayer is a path, but on the path, it makes my promises come alive. It's the path that makes my prophecies come alive. I'm telling you right now, the promises of God are about to come alive in you like never before. Because see, only on the path does the trail map not become casual anymore, becomes this. becomes a necessity. Because when you get down the path and you're saying, okay, I'm taking my family into a place of communication like never before. I feel like this is for somebody. And you feel like the weight of your family is upon you. And you need to forgive yourself for not being where you think you should be right now in life. Let it go. Put it behind you. You're taking a new path this morning. Just receive this in Jesus' name. And you're taking a path. You think something's wrong. It's not wrong. You're just used to taking that highway over there called fear your whole entire life. But now you're literally breaking new ground. And then you get a little lost, and so you look for the trailhead. But your hunger, when you get on the path, man, when you read the trail map, you read it with a hunger like never before. When someone prays over you, you're so thirsty. See, for some of us, we've just been playing church our whole lives because we haven't been taking the path. So we're over here, and prayer's kind of cute. Oh, I just see you, and the Lord loves you, and it's just going to be good. God's going to bless you this week. And you're like, awesome. You're like, hey, thanks. That's so good. High five. Awesome. Read the Bible. It's just for fun and for casual. And God's saying, you're about to take this path. You're about to take this path. And this path is literally going to unlock the promises of God like never before. Your prayer life is about to come alive like never before. The promises of God are about to come alive like never before. I'm calling you to take this path. I'm calling you to take this path. You've never gone this way before. You've never gone this way before. But I just believe prophetically over people in this room, God is literally calling you. You're putting away old pathways. God's going to begin to give you ideas. You've been stuck in a path in your marriage, on your Mondays, on your weekends, in your retirement, in your newly married life, in your single life, in your praying for a baby and raising the baby. Wherever you are, you have found yourself in a rut, and God is saying, I've ordered some steps for you. I've ordered some steps for you. I put prayer in you. I put prophecies for you, and they are for the path. The prayer, the promise, the prophecy has been for the path, and you now are about to take the path. And what you need to know is you just, the fear and the condemnation, I've tried this before. No, you haven't. You have not been on this path before. You've not gone this way with this much faith and this much church and this much spirit and this much grace and this much word. You've not gone down this path. You've prayed for it. You've hoped for it, but you've never been walking in faith and blazing a trail like this before. You are taking ground. You are bringing your family, and your kids will walk in the trail that you blaze in this day. I believe you're blazing a trail. You're taking a path. You're putting away the pathways of fear and the pathways of insecurity and the pathways of depression and the pathways of loneliness. You didn't know it before, but you've been on a path that you are putting away, and you are taking a new path this morning, and that path will lead to the promise. Let's read these verses. Let's read the Word of God this morning. It says in Psalms, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way. Cause me to know the way. Cause me to know the way I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, He is putting a way and a path in your heart this morning. You are about to walk where you've never walked before in Jesus' name. I believe the spirit of prayer is coming upon you. The spirit of prophecy is coming upon you as you step out in faith and you take that path. You take that path. You take that path. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. God is about to direct your paths like you never have. In Jesus' name, taking a path. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. This is for somebody this morning. Right now, you're bored. You don't even like life. There's some things in your mind you don't even understand. You're trying to figure some stuff out, and God's saying, I want to give you a new path. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you. Guys, this morning, this is it. Your ears will hear a word. This is the way. God's about to give you a new phone life, a new texting life, a new prayer life, a new thought life, a new Monday, a new Tuesday, a new church life, a new weekend, a new flow, a new path, a new way. He's saying, come here. I'm going to show you the path. I'm going to show you the path. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to show you. This is the path. You didn't know that you were up against a pathway of gossip, a pathway of being hurt, a pathway of suspicion. What you didn't know was that your family has never gone up against a dysfunction that ails your heritage, and you as a trailblazer are about to pick up the word and the spirit and the promise and the prophecy, and you are about to blaze a trail that has never been blazed. And God is saying, I'll show you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm putting ideas in your heart. I'm showing you a new path. 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 You've never gone this way. You've never done it this way. You've never walked this way. You've never started at the trailhead. You prayed for leadership. You prayed for influence. You prayed for provision. But now I'm taking you to the trailhead of that path. I'm taking you to serving. I'm taking you to humility. I'm taking you to grace. I'm taking you to vulnerability. I'm taking you to gratitude and thanksgiving. I'm taking you to forgiveness. But you're about to take the trailhead of a path you've never taken. And I will lead you. 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 Lord, show me.